the Free for All Roundtable.
Round two.
On round two, Adjoa and Sia Yabwa, News Talk 1010 and CP24 personality is here. Tamara Cherry with Pickup Communications, Brad Bradford, Toronto City Councillor. And actually, let's start with you, Brad Bradford, on this, because apparently we're getting new urban garbage cans today, but nobody's seen them. Have you seen them?
Well, I haven't seen them, and I was just talking to Joe and everybody about this. This is from a Mayor Miller era deal, 20-year agreement with Astral for the supply, manufacturing, installation of about 25,000 waste bins and street furniture elements across the city. There's been a lot of ink spilled in the media over the years about how poorly these function. And I think for a lot of Torontonians who have been out there on the street, you see the garbage piling up, you see the bins all busted, and they haven't worked very well. I didn't know this was coming. We haven't seen anything. And I would just, I would say certainly they're going to be better. It would be a welcome refresh. Everybody wants to see something better. But given how high the stakes are in that this is something that, you know, is very visible and people experience and see every day, the idea to just sort of do that independently without consulting or talking with anyone, you know, maybe we could have shown Torontonians a couple options, had folks vote on it, weigh in on it, whatever. Let's just hope this is a 10 out of 10, because I think it could go awry if you come up with something that, you know, a year or two down the road isn't working very well.
And Adjoa, it should always be borne in mind that when you and I talk about these garbage cans, they're owned, they were made by our company.
I know. I remember the first iteration of these garbage cans had like a step. And I thought in the beginning they were convenient, but I remember as years went by that they removed the step because they just kept getting locked and jammed. So I think anything's better than these futuristic garbage cans. The look was nice, but the functionality was not good. So hopefully something is a lot better. Anything is probably better than what was rolled out in the last 20 years.
And the images that we've seen, Tamara, of garbage overflowing and stacked next to the cans, it should be noted the city is responsible for collecting that garbage. But there are a few things more nauseating, in my experience, than having to push open the door on these cans to drop my dog poo bag.
Exactly. Yeah, you already touched on my point, which is going to be, John, that unless the new and enhanced modifications include city staff whose job it is to empty the garbage bins before they're overflowing onto the sidewalk, I don't see how anything could be that pleasing to the residents of Toronto. But also, Councillor Bradford, you really think that this is something that we'd have to bring to residents to approve? Like, I feel like this is one of the things that the city can just deal with and put through. I was kind of surprised to hear you say that. Like, do we need to have a vote from residents on what our new garbage cans will look like? I think like people should just trust that their taxpayer dollars are going to get them garbage bins that hold garbage and are emptied in a timely manner.
Yeah, you could say that. And I think that would be a nice baseline expectation. But we've got other stories this morning. Look at what happens when you leave it to the city and we say, just trust us. Look at the vacant home tax like just 2 weeks ago. I mean, there's lots of examples of the city getting it wrong. And I think when we're rolling out 25,000 pieces of equipment and a 20-year deal, which was the case the last time, like I wasn't at City Hall with Mayor Miller in 2007. But, you know, if you had even had some people sort of try and use the garbage bins or something, you could see how were these tested, that the step function was breaking, that you had dog crap smeared all over the front door and then nobody to use it. Like, I'm just saying, if you do this and nobody is aware of it and you come out with something that is going to require, you know, updating and refreshing 25,000 pieces of street furniture, you sure as hell better hope you got it right. And that's the risk here.
The city is cracking down on dangerous dogs. Do you find that heartening, Adjoa and Sia Yabwa?
I think so, because of the previous year's attacks that have happened. If you already have a dangerous dog and you're not abiding by the rules, like wearing a muzzle or making sure your dog is on leash, and you're protecting not only other citizens, but also your dog from being put down because it ends up attacking somebody and something severely goes awry. So I think this is a really, really good thing. And it should have been done, I guess, a very long time ago. If you are a dog owner and you are mistreating your dog, dogs are only dangerous because owners mistreat their dogs. And that's why they behave this way. So I think this is such a good thing, and it's a long time coming.
Okay. And Tamara, it's not always mistreatment, actually. I think it's indulgence. You know, people allow, some people are actually proud of their dog's aggressive behavior.
Well, I would call that mistreat. I would put that under the umbrella of mistreating. Yeah, I guess there's a different word there, but I just wish that these signs said dangerous owners. Dangerous dog owners live here instead of this mean looking dog, because, you know, I'm looking at the list of these dangerous dogs on the City of Toronto website. Chloe, Osso, Hobbs, Hunter, Lila, Brody, Tango, Ollie. I mean, I feel bad for these dogs that they landed in the hands of owners who did not properly take care of them and train them. And I also feel bad for the poor City of Toronto employee who's going to have to go around and hand out these signs.
Yeah, Brad Bradford, it's a lot of person hours apparently over the next month because they have to go knock on 364 doors.
Yeah, and they probably have to connect with somebody too. Like, we have lots of issues when we send Byla out for different reasons, and, you know, somebody doesn't answer the door, or maybe they're at work, and you have to make that connection. Unfortunately, I think it's another example of city theater trying to be seen to be doing something rather than actually solving a problem. Dog attacks are terrible when they occur. There's lots of examples of tragedies, but that's not a problem that the city's bylaw officers are going to be addressing by going and knocking on someone's door and handing them a sign. I think, you know, this recalls back of other proposals that some of my colleagues had here to put cats on leashes, or trying to ban two-stroke motors for leaf blowers. We can have people put up signs and we can try and educate people, but whether it's off-leash dogs or dangerous dogs, enforcement is kind of that last resort. And a lot of these problems actually take place in parks, whether that's an actual dog park, off-leash dog area, or elsewhere. It's not so much the classic dog biting the mailman incident. So I think it's a big waste of time and resources. And, you know, another example of the city getting out there trying to present a solution to a problem that's probably not really going to work.
Yeah. And worth noting, actually, my dog isn't bitey, but he's very barky and he has an inchoate hatred of the letter carrier. So we always have to watch out for that.
There you go.
Listen, let's see, where would I like to go next? Actually, it wasn't on the agenda, but I don't think you guys need to do a deep dive to have an opinion on this. And Tamara, I'll start with you. And that is Justin Trudeau sort of opportunistically lacing into Pierre Poilievre because Poilievre pulled over on a roadway and hung out with some people who are more or less convoy protest types. And then, of course, he was endorsed by Alex Jones, the American personality. And Justin says he has to disavow himself of Alex Jones. Is one required to disavow unpopular supporters?
I mean, I think the only scandal here would be if we found out that Pierre Poilievre's camp was actively seeking an endorsement from Alex Jones in the United States, which I highly doubt. I think that Trudeau is only further isolating many Canadians. What he needs to appreciate by now is that he is serving at the pleasure of all Canadians, not just those who don't follow conspiracy theories. Alex Jones is a bad, vile person. He spread these awful lies to make money and knowing that they were lies. But does it mean that anyone who listens to him is a bad person? No. Does it mean that they don't trust the government? Maybe, probably. Does it mean something has maybe happened to them in their own lives, you know, to cause them to be just distrustful of the government and other, you know, institutions, perhaps, but maybe they're scared. Prime Minister Trudeau needs to focus more on gaining the trust of these people rather than marginalizing them. And I'm not speaking about gaining the trust of Alex Jones, but gaining the trust of people who listen to Alex Jones, because there are an increasing number of Canadians who do. Although I do suspect that Trudeau realizes it's too late for that at this point.
Brad Bradford, I've had this discussion with Maxime Bernier, the leader of the People's Party of Canada. And of course, his answer was, I can't account for the fact that some unsavory people happen to be in favor of me becoming the prime minister. And so I don't have to spend every day disavowing them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tamara's right. I'm sure he didn't go out seeking that endorsement. The time and effort to disavow it is—it's really not that much. But this is an unsavory character. The Sandy Hook commentary that that got him into a lot of trouble. And then had, I think he had to pay out $1 billion or something on that. It's just not a good look. And at the other side of that, though, the prime minister, who has been, I think often characterized as someone who practices this sort of identity politics and the divisive politics, this is right out of that playbook, right? And, you know, to Mara's point that probably there are folks that listen to this guy's show and maybe they have worldviews distrusting government and elected officials, fine. But his job shouldn't really be dunking on the people that listen to that show, even if it is a bunch of garbage and nonsense. His job should be trying to respond to Canadians' concerns here in this country and the issues that they're dealing with, not playing divisive politics if you listen to this radio show or you watch this YouTube channel.
I want to hop to one more topic, and Andrew, I'll start with you on this one. I like highlighting when something in government actually works, and Toronto seems to be on track to approve Cafe TO applications and have them open by the May long weekend. And people will remember last year, some people were getting their permits approved on like the 15th of July. What was the point?
It does appear that everything is going a lot better than it did last year. I think because it was a transition program, it wasn't supposed to be a permanent thing, and now it's a permanent thing. And just looking into the article and seeing what they're saying, that people that have applied, they were grandfathered in. So if they had applied last year, all they had to do was fill out an application, and now they're approved. So this is a good thing. It's a good thing because it's faster, and it looks like everything's going to be opened in May. So that is actually a really good thing in time for the May long weekend. So you can sit outside if it's not raining on a patio.
Brad Bradford, I guess if we'd learned about this earlier, it would have been on Kathleen Wynne's Wednesday segment called Stuff That's Working, Stuff That Isn't, because this is stuff that's working.
Yeah. And hey, everyone, good reminder again, this is now the fourth year of the program. So like four times a charm. And it's been a long journey. It is great that it's working, but we have like, for the past 3 years, said it was going to be open for the May long weekend. So here you go. Finally, 4 years in, we're at a position where we can roll this on autopilot, and that's great. But the amount of heavy lifting that so many of my council colleagues have had to do on a one-off by one-off basis with individual small businesses to get them ready to go, fighting the civil service and the bureaucracy more often than not, like, my goodness, finally we're there. Way to go, City of Toronto.
Thanks a lot to the three of you. Great to have you this morning. Adjoy and Sia Yeboah, Tamara Cherry, and Brad Bradford.
Catch the round table, round one at 7:45, round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. News Talk 1010, Toronto.